This episode of Pat Trek was brought to you by Cards Against Humanity. They've asked us not to read an ad. Enjoy the show. We'd like to thank the Chicago Podcast Co-op for connecting us with that sponsor. The Chicago Podcast Co-op is a collective of excellent podcasts based right here out of Chicago, Illinois. Find out more at chicagopodcastcoop.com.
The late 80s. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the podcast Pat Trek. My continuing mission, to introduce my friend Patrick to the best show that ever ran on television. And to boldly go where millions of white guys with glasses have gone before.
Hello, welcome to Pat Trek. This is the show where my friend Pat O'Rourke introduces me, Patrick Winninger, to Star Trek The Next Generation, a show that I've never seen.
And I have seen a ton of times. And Patrick, I feel like we've already seen this episode.
Shades of Grey?
Yeah, 50 Shades of Grey.
No, it's just Shades of Grey.
I'm going to remember it how I want to.
Yeah. And speaking of...
Movies. 50 Shades of Grey.
Yes, which is a film.
Clint Worthington's with us today. Hey, man.
Oh, hello.
Made famous by the Alcohollywood podcast.
I don't know about famous, but made recognizable in a vague sense. But thank you for coming. Thank you for not coming on the show. See, I'm so used to, since I have my own podcast,
right,
I'm so
yeah.
used to that. No, thank you for having me on
the show. The tables have turned,
again,
Clint.
I know, I'm in a whole different world.
You're watching TV.
Sitting around a table and holding the microphone in my own hand like an animal.
Mm-hmm. We have really gone downhill with production value of this show.
Yeah. Last time you came on, out of this cardboard box. Are you guys okay?
Yeah,
guys,
I hope you like the barrel fire.
To
you want some more squirrel?
Yeah, oh man, freshly roasted.
Speaking of barrel fires, let's talk about this episode a little bit.
Oh, boy,
that's a much better transition than I did.
Yeah. Oh, well, much better transitions than the transitions in this show.
Yeah. Well, so
clips.
Here's my fun fact.
Yeah.
It was produced in 3 days.
Yep.
You don't say.
Yeah, they made it in 3 days because they went over budget earlier in the season.
Oh.
Yeah, there's no look of surprise or shock.
Yeah, that's no surprise at all because half of this were just clips of other shows.
Yeah, well, I mean, as you guys have mentioned earlier on the show, I know because I'm a huge fan of the show.
Oh, thank you.
Right. That this season two was plagued by the writer's strike of 1987 through 88, I believe. And so, like, at the beginning... The problems were that they just had to, like, recycle scripts from phase two and all that stuff. And then here at the end, they had to just, like, they ran out of money. So they had to resort to that creaky old TV cliche of the clip show.
Yeah.
Which I believe this is Trek's only real clip show.
Well,
I could be wrong.
Well, in original series, they repurposed the pilot.
Yeah, that's true.
I guess
it wasn't like
clips
of
though.
Previous episodes. They hadn't seen that stuff before,
right?
I feel like the Wikipedia article mentions Spock's brain, and I don't know if I haven't seen Spock's brain in forever. In terms of a comparison point, I don't know if it's because it like Spock's brain is the worst episode of Star Trek ever, or if like Spock's brain was a clip show too. I don't even know.
I don't think that's a clip show.
Yeah, I don't.
I saw it a couple months ago.
Yeah, someone's gonna have to. Weigh in with whether or not this is
it's
the only
a bad
clip
episode.
Show.
It's not great.
Oh, it's awful.
Yeah, I mean,
brain
sorry,
and
spoiler.
Brain, what is brain?
Yeah, spoiler, guys. We did not like this one.
Yeah.
You know? we've got for Patrick's log, though. This came out July 17th, 1989. And a headline that I found was First Requiem for Monarch Slain in 1918. Soviets ignore police to eulogize Tsar. About 200 people gathered among the damp weeds in a monastery graveyard today. To hold the first public requiem in the Soviet Union for Tsar Nicholas II, who was shot by Bolshevik guards in 1918. So apparently, there were a lot of people holding a requiem thing and having a brass band play God Save the Tsar, which was a Tsarist anthem, in the Soviet Union. This is the first time that happened. So it's like, officially, the Soviet Union, of course, did not recognize the dude that was the Tsar. They had no official recognition of it because it was a different country. And so the country's like kind of an upheaval.
Why did the people choose to do that?
They were Russian Orthodox, and they venerate the Tsar as part, because the Russian Orthodox Church and the Tsar traditionally, like historically in Russia, were very connected. It was a state religion. And he eventually was canonized, I think, in 2000.
Really?
Yeah. When I was in St. Petersburg in college, I saw like his tomb or whatever. It's in this thing called the Peter and Paul Fortress in St. Petersburg. And it's a very controversial issue. Because if you're
would
not,
you call it bizarre?
Yes. Yeah. It's very controversial.
This is why you bring me here on peace, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just from my own personal opinion is that Nicholas II was probably the worst czar that Russia ever had. He got them into World War I, where hundreds of thousands of people died. It did not go well for Russia. He had no idea of, like, why any people might be upset with his rule, and, like, it eventually collapsed. Mm.
So what you're saying is he's the shades of gray of Russian royalty.
Yeah, he was a clip show. He was the clip show czar.
Full circle.
So yeah, that's what was going on in the world.
Man, Patrick, every time you do Patrick's Log, I realize how little I know about Russian history.
I only pick the Russian headlines because that's what I studied in school. That's all I know. So, sorry.
Yeah, sorry?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's get into the episode. Shades
let's
of
do
gray,
it.
I think we're, yeah, I feel like that long Patrick's Log was just a way to stall for time.
Yeah. It's...
But man, there's not much to say about this one. Except it's just because like the
there's
actual
20 minutes of new stuff in it.
Yeah,
maybe
there's it's really just a bunch of stuff we already saw before.
Yeah,
at the beginning it's something new. The Enterprise are doing like I think a geological survey on a planet Serata 4.
Looks like America.
Yes, I pointed this out when we were watching like every overhead shot they have of the planet. I was like, that's Michigan.
Yeah,
like it's clearly outlined, and it's like if you're gonna just I get that they have to cut and paste like outlines of coasts and stuff on the actual globe that exists. Why pick the most recognizable landmass in America? Like, that is the most recognizable coastline. It looks like a mitten.
Right.
And yeah. That's like, it's
it just looked like America. Yeah.
Right.
It was just, America.
Yeah, it was just hanging out in the Finger Lakes.
It was just like kind of cut up, but it's just, so they're on not America.
No.
Basically.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely not America.
No, it's a jungle.
Yeah.
It's like 4 feet of jungle. The first time we see Riker, he just looks as bored as we're all going to be. That's the episode. Like, because here's the thing. Like, we don't. It's not like they go down to the planet and we see him stung. It's already happened by
right.
the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, Riker's hanging out on a log and Geordi comes up. It's Riker and Geordi are the away team. And Riker's just sitting on a log. He's got a little
he's
a
just
boo-boo
going,
on his leg.
Great.
Yeah, he seems disappointed in himself.
Yeah, he's like, well,
yeah.
That one's on me, guys. My bad.
Right.
You know, originally in the script, the whole four was supposed to come to life. Yeah, there was one.
What?
It's like a page and a half.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the whole forest was supposed to come to life and attack them.
Oh, man. Yeah.
That would have cost that was a real way thing too much money.
Yeah, that was a real good thing to put in your script that you had to write because you ran out of money.
Right.
Yeah. Well, they cut it.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, LaForge is saying, hey, so you have an open wound on a alien planet we've never been to before. That's real bad. So I'm not going to take any chances. We're gonna send you back. And back in the transporter room, we got Colm Meaney up there.
Yeah.
Miles O'Brien.
Yeah, Sir Colm.
He had a bunch of lines.
He actually had a little bit of an appearance in this
he
episode.
He must have the lowest rate of any of the actors.
I'm sure.
That's why he got so much screen
Worf
time.
Worf wasn't there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he has a moment with Pulaski, which is like this is the last time we'll see her this last episode, right?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, sorry. Spoilers.
Yeah. Thanks, Clint.
Sorry.
Gates McFadden comes back in season 3.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. I like her.
Yeah. And we just kind of ignore Dr. Pulaski like she was just some terrible mistake.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was starting to get to like how she's kind of thorny with Picard and they have this kind of Bones-Kirk relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Complete with Bones's antipathy towards the transporter. She gets a couple of fun little moments.
Yeah.
She's going to beam down to the planet, right?
And she is great. When she goes onto the transporter.
Yeah.
She has that little moment. She's looking up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that Miles O'Brien makes a little joke. He's like, oh, I don't know if I got the coordinates right. And she's like, dude, don't joke about this.
I'm not in the room for, quote, I'm not in the mood for, quote, comical transporter chiefs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am, though.
Right?
Yeah. I love that. That was funny. The main thing to take away from this is that they tried to do this thing called a biofilter, I think. And they couldn't get whatever virus or whatever out of his leg.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, like that's the standard technobabble procedure thing where, like, yeah, the transporter has biofilters that if there's, like, that's why they don't have a decontamination room.
Right.
On the Enterprise. Not until Enterprise did they do a decontamination room where they rub everyone down with decon gel. But, yeah, like, that's supposed to be, like, the in-universe reason why they don't pick up viruses or whatever.
Yeah. So let's get into this for a second.
Yeah.
That filter means that when they re-assimilate back on the ship, they've just left all that bacteria behind.
Yeah.
But it's still in his leg.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just have to, like, override the safeguards, I think. And
you know, in that episode where they beam back the copy of Picard and keep him alive in season one?
Yeah.
Couldn't they have just grabbed the copy of Riker?
And just leave the rest of them
just
there?
Just leave them. Well, we've already solved this problem.
Well, because the...
That's
they
still
solved it in
that
season
episode.
One.
You're
that
basically killing Riker.
The but they've already killed him every time anyway.
Picard basically died 4 episodes in.
Yeah.
And this is just a new Picard. So, like, I feel like they realize that and then just skirt past it. They're like, no, we can't just do that because that's effectively killing our Riker.
Yeah, but it's the same Riker. It's
the
a
same
copy
Riker.
Of him.
I guess to everyone else it doesn't matter. To everyone else
it
doesn't matter. Right. What's good for the goose?
Well, they don't do that. Dr. Pulaski goes down and she's like, yeah, it's some kind of weird microbe. Can't really do anything about it. So they have to override and transport him back. The one thing is he's not hurt. Like, he's not in pain. But he says he's totally numb around his leg.
It's like his leg fell asleep.
Yeah. Yeah. And he has to be, like, helped up onto the bed, and, you know, he's trying to play it cool this whole time. And then all of a sudden his leg gives out. So it's just like, well, yeah, you're sick, dude.
Yeah, he spends much of the episode in repose.
Yeah.
In that, on those very tiny sick bay beds.
They're
like,
small.
He can barely fit on that thing. He does not look comfortable.
Nope.
And they don't change out into a hospital gown or
no.
anything?
No,
they just
leave him in his uniform.
In his little tidy whities.
Yeah.
His little spandex. Giving us some very unflattering angles.
That is not a flattering outfit to be, like,
to begin with,
laying
yeah.
on your back on
yeah.
camera.
Complete with, like, low angle shots where we're, like, skiing both of Riker's chins as he's, like, trying to, like, crane his neck to look
right.
up at people. It's
I know.
Really bad.
No one would look good in that situation.
Yeah.
Sorry,
Jonathan.
Not,
certainly. Sorry, Frakes.
Yeah. I'm sorry, yeah. Jonathan Frakes, if you're listening to this.
Yeah.
Any of us would look like shit
but
in
man.
That position.
Especially when they flash back in some of those clips and we see him in season one, how
yeah.
good that man looks.
Yeah, when he was like
and we come back to him
lighter.
On the bed and we're like, right. what happened?
Oh,
well,
poor
it's,
man.
I 90% of this problem is gravity.
Yes.
He's laying on his back with a camera above him.
Yeah.
yeah.
No it's, one, I'm telling you, no one would look good in that situation.
No, no, no.
So... yeah, that's where he's at. Picard, he records this entry about, like, well, you know, this happened to Riker, and he comes in and visits him. He's like, oh, you put your foot where it didn't belong. And I know that doesn't sound like Picard, but
yeah.
just bear with me. Riker is still joking. He's like, oh, you know, I'm just trying to keep the doctors busy. This is fun. Pulaski informs him that his nervous system has been attacked by something that's not bacteria, not a virus, kind of something in between that we've never seen before.
Isn't that just the way? It always has to be some kind of super virus
I
that
know.
Is somehow not just a virus or anything else.
Isn't that impossible?
I think so.
Yeah, pretty much, but it sounds good to the writers, so.
It doesn't matter.
And then poor Diana Muldar. Like, I feel, you know, I ended up liking things about Pulaski, but man, she struggles the most out of anybody with that technobabble. Like, there are lines where she very, very clearly, like, memorized it phonetically.
Yep.
And it's just, oh, man, she was not able to handle that well.
Yeah, but it's funny seeing, like, the juxtaposition of Riker joking his way through this while Pulaski is saying, yeah, you have an infection in your sciatic nerve that is spreading rapidly, and it will go to your brain.
Yeah, and he gets real philosophical with it towards Picard, right, where they're talking about the voyage and, you know, I knew the risks going in.
Right.
And everything, and it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, that was a real nice source of conflict that they nipped in the bud with their, like, heightened 24th century enlightenment.
Yeah, everyone is
so
super
unrealistic
it's,
and
yeah.
stupid.
And it's not, and like, even in a society where, you know, they've cured those ills in that sense, I guess, it's still really lame anemic drama.
Riker is a passionate man.
Yeah.
If we know anything about him, it's that he loves to live life.
He was supposed to be the Kirk stand-in for the show.
Right.
You
if
know?
He's laying on bed in a bed dying, he's not going to be like, well, I did this to myself. He's going to be like, get me to the holodeck. I got minuet to bone.
Right.
Like, he's going to want to go do stuff. Right. He's not just going to lay there and take it.
He's got some Riken to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got to Riken it up all the way till the end.
Right?
Nope. Instead, he's on this tiny-ass bed.
Totally content with dying.
Yes, whatever. Yeah. It's. I feel weird saying this, but the episode's boring before the clips. Like,
yes.
I wish the clips had started earlier, so that way
right.
I didn't have scene after scene of just Riker sitting on a bed.
Riker in a bed.
Yeah.
Because that's really all it is.
Yeah. They do take a weirdly long time to get to the
there
clips.
There is one
20
scene.
Minutes.
Yeah, yeah. It's 20 minutes in until the clips happen.
Yeah.
The best
but
part
then again,
of the episode.
But then, yeah, right? I can't even believe I'm saying that. But and that's the weird shift that happens. Like, at the halfway point, it's all original footage and then all clips.
Oh,
pretty
yeah.
much. Like, I don't think you see anyone else besides Troy and Pulaski.
No, there's one scene.
Uh-huh.
Data and Geordi.
Oh, Geordi, yeah.
Are being sent down to the planet to get some kind of information about where this infection came from.
Yeah.
So again, there's this
poor management decision by Picard.
Yeah.
Once again.
Yeah. This was Picard's decision.
Do they not have hazmat suits? That's
no.
all I'm asking.
Apparently not. I thought they had some kind of force field, some sort of deal. But
yeah.
Data brings this up. He tells Geordi, look, man, if you want to stay behind, I can just go. I'm an android. Like, yeah. I'll be fine. But Geordi tells him, no, I know exactly where he was when this happened. So
Beam him down to the surface.
Yep.
Geordi takes two steps and goes, right here.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, everybody knew where you were because he used the teleporter.
Yeah, you have the coordinates. You have the coordinates in there.
Yeah.
Great
Geordi,
work.
You're adding no value.
Well, great work, O'Brien.
There is some kind of value because they find this vine that they think is dead,
mm-hmm.
and there's all these like animal skeletons around it. And they mess.
That they don't show, by the way.
No.
It's just Geordi happens to see these fossils.
Just
in
trust
the ground.
That they're there.
Right.
They're in a creek. You know, it may be 2 inches deep, but I believe that there are fossils underneath.
Yes.
I trust Geordi LaForge.
I do too.
I do too. But at the same time, especially in the scene in the transporter room, he strikes me as that guy who you hang out with just because, like, he's really, really insistent on it and he wants to come along to the party, and you've run out of excuses,
yeah.
Like, because you'll like brush past them, like, oh, it's not for you. I don't think this is your crowd. No, I'm good. All right, fine, sure, come along.
What he does find though is this weird vine that they think is dead at first, and it's not really responding to Data. Data's the guy that, of course, is going to mess with it because he's an android. He's got the least to risk. It's not really responding to him. Geordi thinks, you know what? Maybe it'll respond to humans a little more. And what do you know? It lashes out at him. It's a live, kind of carnivorous plant sort of thing.
And Data catches it.
Data catches it with his quick robot reflexes.
Android reflexes.
I couldn't help but think of the poor stand-in or the poor, like, key grip who had to, like, handle the vine, do the vine work.
Yeah.
It just wiggled a little
yeah,
bit.
It just has a wiggle.
It really
so, like, hold on to it. For some reason, that was just what I was thinking about, because it just looks like a rubber hose they, like, put paper mache stuff on. And then a little, like, blue jewel.
That's what, yeah, so
like,
there's
a
little barb. It's a little blue thing that they cut with their phaser, and they just get in a pair of tweezers and hold it, and they get transported up.
Do they put it in a bag?
No.
Well, and here's the worst part. After they transport, Geordi whips a jar out of his pocket and puts it in there.
Yeah.
It's like, Geordi, put that shit in the jar before you're flying through space.
This is a contaminant that you got from, you know, alternate dimension Michigan. And you don't know what the hell it's going to do.
We call that the Upper Peninsula.
Yes. That's the UP. It could kill everyone in the ship, and you just got it in the air.
Yeah, waving around in your tweezers. Put it in the jar.
It?
Put it in your tricorder. Do something with it.
Do something with that. Nope. I mean, I know it's for the audience to see it. So he's like, hey, man, look at this cool
set piece.
It still
looks real clumsy.
But it still looks like it's just a shitty blue thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
It kind of looks like the raptor claw in Jurassic Park.
It does.
Yeah.
Except not as cool.
Right.
So, they beam them back up. They kind of figure out this is where it came from. And Pulaski is analyzing all this stuff, and she's trying to get a hold of Riker. How is he doing? Something is making this microbe spread and thrive. And what she says is she can't remove it. She can't really do surgery because it attaches itself to the nerve on the molecular level.
And they're like, oh, yes, of course. That's why we couldn't transport it. I'm like, oh, come on.
You should have just killed him and then made a copy of him.
Right? Like we said, Picard has a fake heart.
Yeah,
in the 23rd
exactly.
century, they had a pill that could make you grow a new kidney.
Right. Yeah. You can't just chop off his leg and give him a sweet android leg.
I would love to have a bionic limb.
Yeah.
Like, if I didn't have to pay for it, I'd be like, yeah, just amputate it.
Yeah.
I want to be the $6 million man.
Yeah, why not? This is the future.
Yes.
Yeah, and things are starting to go worse and worse. You know, this is where Picard talks to Riker about, hey, you know, don't you kind of feel bad about you maybe dying? And apparently, no, Riker is...
Nah, I'm cool, blood.
Yeah, he's stoic all of a sudden, for once.
What the hell?
I know, this is not in his character. And Deanna Troi is there, you know, they have a moment. But then, eventually, Riker takes a turn for the worse. He goes unconscious.
Yeah, eyes roll up in the back of his head.
Yep,
yeah. He's out.
I thought it was just because of something Deanna Troi said. Like, oh, no. Whatever.
Nope. No. He's got a thing in his brain now.
Yeah.
It's spread all the way to his brain, and Pulaski says he's got about an hour to live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
right after this,
they bring in this new thing that we've never seen before. It's the, I don't know what they call it, the needlehead device.
Yeah.
they put his head in it, and they put a bunch of needles in his head, and they're going to try to stimulate his neurons, is what they say, that maybe that can prevent the virus from spreading, or maybe even they could repel it from his brain, and maybe that would save him.
And that sequence where they're setting up the needle machine is like the best scene in the episode, and at least it's filmed the most intriguingly.
It's a cool set piece.
Like, yeah. I mean, and
that's
this is,
what I got
this
to
is
say
in
about
the most
this.
Generous comparative sense.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, things like, you know, they'll film Deanna Troi through the needle device, and we'll get to see those, like, the needles going into Riker's head. And they, I mean, it's in one of those things where practically you know how they did it, but it's still cool looking.
It's like a trick knife, you know?
Yeah,
where
like they just have the little needle, like, press up against his forehead, and then they have, like, the other sleeve, the metal sleeve that goes down in to make it look like it's boring in deeper. And like, oh, that's
you know,
cool.
I thought the best set piece was the bed itself, because they had those sweet blue lights around the outside of it.
Yeah,
I was like, how do I get that for my bedroom?
No, I like
you want the tiny bed.
Yeah. No, well, it's gotta fit Ozzy.
You're
and
gonna
Lauren.
Sleep on that
right.
alone, dude.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Man, if I got any sort of Star Trek bed, I'm sleeping alone.
yes. But no, my favorite set piece though is like the little medical monitor where it's like tracking his vitals. It's kind of like a big screen version of what Bones had in the old show, where it's like the little triangles tracking things. But it just looks, because of the hue and everything, it just looks like a Pac-Man game from the outside.
And it's making Pac-Man noises.
Yeah, he's like, woo, 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 woo.
Oh, he's dying.
Yeah, no. Quick, feed him cherries. Hurry.
Yeah. Pinky got us.
Yeah, it's a bunch of pinkies. Like, it's just going down.
So they're like, shooting these electrodes or something into his brain, and what that does is it stimulates the clip show.
What?
We just start to see a bunch of stuff we've already seen before with no context, by the way. He shows up in that, like, crystal graveyard thing. Remember where they met the Ferengis for the first time?
Yeah, I wrote down all the episodes on a list, like all the ones they
go
through.
So he's going around, and he's calling for Worf and Geordi, and then he just does the famous, anybody!
Oh, that's one of my favorite moments in season one.
You brought this up while we were watching it. Why do we start off with him just wandering?
I don't know, because the next one is him also lost in the woods. It was on the first episode, Encounter at Farpoint, where he's in the holodeck for the first time, and he's just walking around these woods alone, and then he sees Data, and this is, you know, when he introduces himself to Data, and they talk about Data being an android, and that kind of makes Riker uncomfortable, and that's it. Like, that's, for some reason, that's the first thing that comes into his head.
They're not good clips.
No.
They're not good clips.
There's no context.
No, there is, like, they give you context belatedly, and it's really mealy-mouthed, half-hearted context, where... because we see those two clips, and then we see the clip where he flirts with Guinan, and then we see
that clip.
Yeah, and then we
that's
see
a great scene.
Some clip, I think, from the episode where Riker's dad shows up, where Riker and Troi are hanging out, and they're talking, and like, oh, sad, and we feel bad about each other, and we hug. Those are apparently memories of like love and friendship, and so like we get these, the way the clips work is that we get like three or four, and then we like find out the emotional content of them. Like, they all have these emotional themes, but the first one is the worst one, because that doesn't make any sense.
No.
They really wrote themselves into a corner, making all of these scenes Riker-centric.
Yeah.
There's not that many good Riker scenes in the first two seasons to fill out a whole episode.
Oh, right. Man, but here come some good ones.
Yeah!
So after we get those sort of neutral Riker scenes, the other ones, they are pretty much just Riker boning. All the times Riker was aroused in the series, which is a lot.
Riker's spank bank.
Yeah. It accesses his spank bank.
His spank bank,
well,
yeah.
Here's the thing. He's remembering Minuet, right?
Yes.
Who's not real.
Not a real person.
Not a real person at all. And still we spent a lot of time on that memory. We should have gone back in time to, like, that girl he met in college.
Nope.
You know, like,
we don't have footage
love.
Of that, Patrick.
No, but we got footage of Picard giving orders when Riker's not around.
Right. How does he know that? How is
but
that
he doesn't
his
remember his first love? He remembers a fake holodeck chick more than that first girl who, like, taught him what love was.
And his first boner memory is of the sex planet.
Yep.
The sexy jazzercise folks.
Yeah, Edo.
Yeah. Man. What the hell?
Right.
Riker had a lot of boners before that he's going to remember.
Yeah, but none that are on film.
Just a panoply of teenage Riker boners.
Well, yeah. Like, you know, I remember realizing I liked girls.
All right. I don't want to hear.
Let's get into this.
Yeah, no, come on.
Pat Clip Show starts now.
I don't want to access your spank bank, Pat.
Oh, no.
We're talking about Rikers.
Yes. But no, going up to an earlier point you had, like, yeah, apart from the, you know, the love scenes and the action scenes, Riker didn't have a whole lot to do. He was meant to be, like, the bland white action dude.
Yeah.
Because Picard was so different. And so, like, if we had a clip show of a more fan favorite character like a Data or Worf, like, we would have had a more interesting pool of stuff to go from. But
or why limit yourself to one character?
Yeah.
If you're going to do a clip show of season 1 and 2 of Star Trek The Next Generation,
yeah,
you're going to need access to as many clips as you can get.
Oh,
to
yeah.
Fill
maybe
out that
maybe
hour.
This thing infects other people, you know?
Yeah.
There we go.
Maybe it did infect Data.
Oh,
and we could see some clips from Measure of a Man.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
Like, come on.
Exactly.
Yeah. What if Data got a virus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, how come there's no Q memories in this?
Yeah, there are none.
The time when he became a god?
Yeah, a god.
Why did
we
get that? He should have remembered being a god. He must have been really aroused when he was a deity.
Yes.
That does not come up. No.
When he was a god, his boner spanned all of time and space.
Yeah, imagine that.
Yes. Everywhere.
Nope. It's a Minuet. It's
not real.
When he was on Edo.
Okay.
And up the long ladder when the Bring Lloydy woman, Brenna.
And when he,
of course, he remembers
when he was in defeat. Yeah.
When he went up her long ladder.
Yeah.
And
right.
Also,
the
lady, the soccer mom from the Whole Food Shopper from Angel One.
Oh my God!
All of these, it's just like when you're watching this, it's like, God, this was made in the late 80s.
Yes.
Yep, absolutely.
All of the fashion, like everything, is like, I know this is supposed to be the future, but it's definitely the 80s.
Yeah.
All of this is having a bad effect on him. In the real world, Pulaski and Troy are like, oh, wait. Troy is able to sense, you know, what he's feeling. He's like, he's sensing pleasure.
She says it kind of breathlessly, too.
Right.
She's kind of getting contact.
Well,
you
remember, they had a relationship. So
oh, yeah.
But
even then, like, just psychically, she's just, that's working for her.
This makes me feel really bad for Riker all of a sudden. Those were his best fucking memories.
Yep.
Yes.
Those,
oh, you poor
that was
man.
That poor human being.
He needs a counselor.
Yeah. His best memories was the Irish chick one-night stand.
They're all one-night stands. One of them wasn't even a real person.
He only remembers things from the last 2 years of his life, too.
Yeah.
Like, he suffered a severe head injury before he was transferred to Farpoint.
Poor Riker.
So, but the problem is that this virus is, like, feeding on the dopamine or whatever that it creates.
Yeah.
And it's just getting worse and worse and worse. So Pulaski and Troy are like, okay, so we've got to do the opposite. We're going to give him negative thoughts instead.
Opposite day.
Yeah. So it goes to the worst episodes, like Skin of Evil.
Which we revisited 3 or 4 times.
Yep.
Yeah, that one's a recurring one. Data, something's got me!
Yeah.
The Child.
The Child, another terrible episode where Troy has a kid for one episode and it dies.
And everyone forgets that all happened.
Everyone never revisits it again.
Yeah.
So we see those. But the good news is it's starting to have a good effect. Like, it's starting to drive it away.
The good news is...
Good news, everyone.
This fictional character might just pull through.
Yeah.
Bad news is we're suffering through the Child again.
Yes.
The Child.
No, I like to think that the virus doesn't want to suffer through the Child again either. And he's like, oh God, I didn't realize your memories sucked this much. I'm out.
Yeah.
So they're like, fine, show him more terrible memories. And so like that's when they go straight up to anger and we get like that Klingon the episode where he's on the Klingon ship. And
Which that's a dope episode.
It's a good episode. No, like
A Matter of Honor is awesome. And he fights Clegg. There's Heart of Glory, I think, where they're on that transport, the Klingon transport.
Yeah, that's
and they
the scene where we see
guys.
Scenes of Picard that he should not know.
This makes
memories.
No sense. Yes. Yeah. So I understand that it's accessing Riker's thoughts, right? They see things that Riker would have seen.
Yeah.
But then it goes to Picard on the bridge of the Enterprise talking to Worf. There, Riker wasn't there for that.
No.
Yeah.
That can't be his memory.
Right.
Cut that out.
Yeah.
And then there was the conspiracy one where he gets beat up by the old man.
Yeah. The old guy tells him that vitamins do
wonders. For the
and then I totally forgot like how much he's obviously a body double when he's high kicking
sure.
the shit out of him.
Yeah. I also love that the whole fight is kicks.
It's entirely high kicks.
They're all kicking
it's
each other. Nobody punches or pushes. It's just kicks.
They high kick and then stand back and wait 2 seconds and wait for the other dude to high kick.
It's
like the fight choreographer.
Is that an offshoot of Anbo Jutsu, the most advanced form of martial arts?
I thought we were going to go see him wrestle his dad
right?
again.
That was a cool scene.
They don't even take advantage of the actual good scenes with Riker. Like
no.
the ones where he achieves some kind of catharsis with his family, maybe, or anything.
It's
like
they wrote down a bunch of clips.
Yeah.
Put them into a hat and then pulled them at random. Right. And they're like, how do we put these in order?
Well, the explanation that Pulaski gives is that sadness wasn't enough. You know, it has to evoke raw feelings of like survival, like animal, like lizard brain stuff. That was when he was at his worst and most terrified. They're thinking the chemicals that creates could drive the virus from the brain. Uh-huh. And it's starting to work. Some of the other stuff that we see are, we mentioned the parasite where they blow up that guy's head.
That's awesome.
There's the other one where they had a diplomat who spoke through sign language and he was trying to do...
Right,
some kind of treaty, and then they just like skeletonize that dude.
Yeah,
you see that for a brief second, like all of the really violent stuff from Star Trek.
Yeah, wait, was Riker on the planet for that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so he definitely saw that happen.
That would be great if he wasn't though.
Oh yeah, he just has images of people being vaporized all the time in his head.
Hashtag Vape Nash. Yeah,
he loves to vape.
Yeah, there was the one where he and Picard order the self destruct.
Yes.
Why did they keep showing us that?
They go to that all the time. Like,
yeah.
Yeah,
I don't
but
know.
He was totally calm, and they made a rational, logical choice.
And that
choice.
Turned out fine too. Like,
yeah.
So you'd think that would like color your memory in terms of like, oh, I was worried then, but I'm fine now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It wasn't like you know when he's getting electrocuted by that druggie.
Oh,
right,
yeah. I forgot about that.
The best Riker face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where the one where he's, it was the one of the planet is addicted to the spice that the other planet sells.
Yeah.
And the alien had Riker and was like going to electrocute his heart.
He was giving him a purple nurple.
Right.
Yeah.
And Riker had this weird contorted look on his face.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great scene.
He looks like a dead person that just farted and hopes no one.
Also,
found
would
out.
Riker remember that? He's,
no,
like paralyzed.
Yeah,
in
he
that
was
whole
paralyzed,
scene.
And it was made clear that he had, like, he was not conscious.
Right.
Yeah.
So he had no memory of that either.
Nope.
Well, even then, like, some of these things are so long ago that, like, would he really have memories of this stuff? Like, even if it's, like, big stuff, like, I don't remember what I had for breakfast last week.
Or, right.
Like, you know, what's his deal? Anyway,
What's his deal?
No, and then the last one is when they're like have to outrun the explosion from the Klingon ship in Heart of Glory, and then it's like a rapid fire recap of all the clips. We're seeing a clip show of the clip show that we just saw.
Yep.
And that's like the emotional climax of everything. That's when he's like finally pushing out the virus for good, I guess.
How many times do we have to watch that Skin of Evil clip? Where he's getting pulled into the
tank. Something's got
I counted at least three.
Yeah, something's
got
Where
he gets sucked into the tar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just kept getting sucked into that tar.
It was hard
that
to keep
traumatic.
Track
yeah.
because...
It's tarmatic.
Oh, stop it, Clint.
Thank you.
That's the third time, dude.
I'm exhausted.
Yes.
But yeah, it's hard to keep track of which ones you've seen because like they cut them all up into this terrible montage.
Yeah.
It's supposed to look like a bad dream. That's why it is so...
Well, bad is one word.
Right. But the problem is, when you're trying to make something look disjointed and disorienting, that's all it is. It's like, oh, well, this is... I can imagine watching this in 1989. Never seen Star Trek. I'm just turning on TV for the first time. That comes on. I'm like, what the hell is this?
What am I watching?
What am I watching?
Then you're that's where the clip shows come in, is that you're getting a little sampler, like a little poo-poo platter. Of what Star Trek
poo-poo
has
platter,
to offer.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Because this episode was a piece of shit.
Oh, no!
explicit
yeah,
tag.
It's my turn to do the puns now, Clint.
Yes.
But no, that's this is the other thing. This isn't the age where you could access TV instantly.
Yeah.
You know, you had to watch all of a show to really know what's going on. And this clip show gave no context for any of these things.
No.
So if you hadn't watched Star Trek up to this point, you would have no idea what the hell is happening.
And if you had, you'd go, why are they pulling clips from all the bad
right.
episodes?
I've already seen
right?
this. Yeah. It sucks.
Is this yeah. what I'm supposed to, is this what I'm missing out on?
Yeah.
So oh, who, thank you.
Who is this episode for?
Yeah. No one.
And at the same time.
Budget.
Yeah, and especially at the same time, we were talking about clip shows earlier before we started recording, and just sort of the very nature of things like Netflix and binge watching and stuff means we don't even like need clip shows anymore because yep. we're not far enough removed from these other episodes to be like, oh, I haven't seen this in a while.
Thank God.
Right? So we don't need clip shows anymore. So, I mean, this is just an unfortunate
relic
of, yeah, of an old thing. Like, there are ways to do clip shows well. Like, one sci-fi show that I think does clip shows really well is Stargate SG-1. They had a whole, especially late in the show, they did a bunch of them, and they were all, like, weirdly novel. I mean, some were better than others, but one great one was one featuring Dan Castellaneta of The Simpsons as, like, a barber in Indiana, I think.
Homer.
Homer from The Simpsons, who... he's just playing this barber, and he like has this psychic stone that happens to be psychically linked to Richard Dean Anderson. So so it follows him over the 8 years of the show thus far, like getting flashes of the guy's adventures. And it's like, oh, my God, I'm having the most amazing dreams. And it's a comedy episode where he keeps trying to describe to his customers these adventures, and they're increasingly turned off by it. And then eventually they find him and bring him to like the base. And it turns out that Richard Dean Anderson has also had like the stone in his locker too. And he's getting flashes of Dan Castellaneta's life. And he's and Daniel Jackson's like, have you seriously never said anything? You've for the last 8 years, you've been having random flashes of a guy bowling and you never said anything. And he's like, no, it was pretty relaxing. And so that's how you do a clip show. You do something novel with it. But this is just cynical.
Yeah.
And
well,
it's
lazy.
Gross. It's lazy and gross.
What do you know? The montage works, though. You know, it gets,
no way!
Yeah, I know. They weren't going to kill off Riker.
I wish they would have killed off Pulaski.
I like Pulaski.
Me too, but this is the last episode she's
in. Could you imagine having to go out in a clip show?
Yeah. Well, her head explodes from staring at that red light.
No, that's the
long.
Kind of thing that happens when a cast member walks off the set.
Yeah, they kill him.
Yeah.
That's what happened to Yar.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, he's back. The virus has been expelled from his body somehow. Picard's there. Data's there. Troy is there. Pulaski, of course. And Riker's back to his joking self. He wants to get back to work, but Pulaski says, I've got to run a few tests to make sure you still remember who you are. And he says, well, of course I remember who I am. I'm Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the USS Enterprise.
Womp, womp, womp.
Everyone gets a joke but Data. Because Picard says, well, I'm sure the Admiral may have something to say about that. And Data's like, I didn't know you could promote me to Admiral, Captain. And it ends.
That's how they end season two.
That's the last episode of season two.
Yeah, that's the end of season two.
Yeah.
Jesus.
They don't
sucks.
Even end it.
The last episode with the pajamas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, thank God, we are now moving into season three. Because season two had these amazing moments. But every once in a while, you're like, what were they thinking?
Yeah.
This is a great example of that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like you guys are out of the wilderness years now, and you're going to start to see an upward swing in quality, because, like, in season two, there's, like, a few boons. Like, they're starting to figure out the characters more. They're establishing some of the familiar dynamics, like Geordi and Data's relationship, Riker and Worf's weird thing, and just things like that. But then, in the midst of really great episodes, like Measure for a Man, we get this.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's real bad.
It's not great.
Yeah, it's not great.
That's not a good note to go out on with this season. But people keep telling me it gets better, so I believe
you. Well,
so
they also get more budget and stuff.
Yeah, season three of Star Trek shows are typically when they really pick up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, Patrick, what did you... Well, I guess we should rate this episode first.
Yeah, we probably should.
All right.
Can we just, like, say it at the same time?
This is the part of the podcast where we rate what we just saw. If we thought it was amazing, must-watch Star Trek, we set to kill. We thought it was all right, you know. If it comes up in the queue, give it a watch. We set to stun. And if it's garbage, avoid at all costs, we leave it in the holster. So, Patrick, what did you think?
Leave it in the holster.
No way!
Lock the holster. Put it in a safe where no one can access it.
Yeah.
You don't have to see this one.
No way. No,
and there's no
whatsoever.
Reason to watch this episode because, A, it's a clip show. So if you've watched Star Trek up to this point, half of this episode is just shit you've already seen. And the other thing is, the rest of the original content of this, it ain't that great. There's really no reason to see this.
Yeah.
It shouldn't exist.
Yep. Clint?
Yeah, leave it in the holster, put the holster into a photon torpedo, and fire it into the sun.
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
What a useless piece of television.
Well, I'm going to agree. I'm going to say leave it in the holster, then teleport it to a planet. Then instead of teleporting it back, teleport a clone of it back, which has none of the biometric issues that this current episode has.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would also cure the virus that that he had.
Much more quickly. Yeah. And we might be able to see clips of other people's experiences.
One thing, though, I did want to ask, Clint. So on your Alcoholywood podcast, you make cocktails for every movie that you watch, right?
That's correct.
So what cocktail would you make for this episode?
Okay, I was thinking about this because you asked me this beforehand. And I don't have the name is a bit. I think I would do the name of the cocktail would be Tricordrazine, because that is the name of the thing. And I remember because I thought it...
A pun I won't boo.
Right, that's... No, because that was the literal name of the chemical they have him
on.
They
inject him with it to
but
try
I
caught, to...
But I kept thinking they were talking about some kind of zine, like a weekly zine that someone does about the latest tricorder technology. Tricordrazine. But yeah, basically, all you do to make this cocktail is think about the worst things you've had to drink for the last 2 years. All
right.
And pour a little bit of it, a little bit of all of them into the same glass, and then dump it in the trash can.
I like it.
Enjoy.
Sounds good. So, Patrick, I want to ask you, we're done with two seasons now.
That's true.
What did you think of season two?
So this is not the best time to ask me because I just watched one of the worst episodes, but...
But you're reminded with all the clips of how great it can be. Right?
But all the clips of the bad episodes. So I'm gonna try to put that out of my mind.
Yeah.
You know?
Eat a saltine cracker.
Yeah. Season 2 is a lot better than season 1. I would rate it set to stun just because there are a lot of missteps that happen. There's just a lot of solid episodes. You know, like the last two we watched.
Mm-hmm.
Peak Performance, The Emissary, those were good. This was not so good. So it's really hit or miss, but it's a solid show. Like, it's something that I would watch.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
So should I have just introduced you to these, like, 5 or so episodes?
No.
And then we just get right to season?
No, we got
to
watch the bad stuff, too. That's the point.
It makes you appreciate the good stuff all the more.
It's true.
Yeah.
I've said this before. Patrick is really earning the good episodes of Star Trek.
Yes. That's what people tell me.
You have the patience of a saint.
Everyone thinks I'm crazy for trying to get you to like the show, and then starting with season 1. They're like, you have handled this way wrong if you want Patrick to like the show.
Yes.
Like I've said before, I agreed to do this.
It's all in the name of pod fame.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, I've loved the experience of watching it with you, Patrick, and being able to revisit these episodes, because a lot of them I would have turned on and gone, oh, right, and just skipped. If I were sitting here alone just revisiting Star Trek. But the fact that we have agreed to rewatch all of these, it reminds me of certain things that that I had blocked or forgotten.
Oh. Maybe we should do a clip show.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of editing work, though, so probably not.
I was going to say, my suggestion to you guys, instead of doing this episode, is just to take clips of your other episodes and slap them together
all
into
the
this.
Bad ones.
Oh, no, Patrick's fell victim to a virus. The only way we can cure him is by showing him clips from previous Patrick episodes.
That'd be torture, I think.
Yeah. That'd be awful. No one would... Yeah. Like, much like this episode, that episode would be for no one.
Yes. So those things where it's best enjoyed as a dumb concept than actually the following through on doing, which is something
concept,
I'm very familiar with.
Yes. Well, Patrick, is there anything you want to talk about before we get out of here?
Yeah. Thank you to everyone for listening. We've made it through yet another season. If you like the show, please subscribe on iTunes. We're trying to get up in the rankings there so that more people can find it. And leave us a review. As we have said, we will read it on air.
Yeah. Whatever you write will get read on air by one of the Pats.
By that Pat.
Great. Clint, what about you?
Yes, you can follow me on Alcoholywood. Our episodes are at alcoholywood.com. We also, since last I was here, we've expanded our brand somewhat.
Ooh,
and now we have a couple of spinoff shows as well. Alcoholywood, the main show, again, like you said, Patrick, we... take a new movie every week and we make a cocktail and a drinking game for it. It's a really fun show. Please check us out there. We're also on iTunes and whatnot. But we also have a new bi-weekly new releases review show called Alcohollywood on Tap. So if you want to hear my my pretentious talk about new releases, you know, like Rogue One and Jackie and Hidden Figures and all that kind of stuff. I think next Friday, well, the Friday after I do this, our next episodes will be on The Founder and the Ronald McDonald movie. And not that, but it's the Ray Kroc biopic.
Yeah.
And other things. And so we also have that. And then on our YouTube channel, our friends Theo and Marshall are a couple of twins who talk about two movies every month based around a theme. And their show is called Twin Cinema. And you can find that at youtube.com/alcohollywood. I believe right now for the month of January, they're doing January, where they're comparing the films of Jean Cocteau and Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Awesome.
So Orpheus and Bloodsport.
Yeah.
So that's great. And then right now, we are taking a break from regular episodes, but we are in the middle of releasing, finally, our big magnum opus project, our full cast radio drama adaptation of Indiana Jones and the Monkey King, which was an unproduced screenplay that Chris Columbus wrote in 1985 that was supposed to be the third Indiana Jones movie. It's terrible.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's terrible, but we're having a lot of fun doing it. It's full cast radio drama, original music, everything. So if you want to go to that, that's on our regular Alcohollywood feed. So if you subscribe to us there, you'll see that.
Excellent. Speaking of Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yes.
When I was on Alcohollywood,
yes,
I got to talk about Sudden Death.
Yes.
Which was a great movie. And I recommend checking out that episode of Alcohollywood if you haven't had a chance to yet. I've always had a lot of fun doing that show. Screaming and yelling about bad movies.
I remember when you came to us with your Back to the Future conspiracy theories. Was that you?
No.
Oh, I'm thinking of someone other. I'm thinking of some other bearded white dude who's on our show.
Yeah.
Such is the world of podcasts.
So many of us. Yeah.
Speaking of bearded white dudes, I'm going to be on Geek Show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's on February 8th. I'll be there. I'm going to be a guest. You guys just did that.
Yeah,
as well,
we just
right?
did their holiday one.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about Die Hard.
Yeah.
The sudden death. It's sudden death in a building.
Yeah. The lamer version of sudden death.
Right.
Die Hard. But yeah, so check out Geek Show if you're in the Chicago area. It's like an interview talk show.
Yeah, variety show. It's super fun.
Yeah.
I had a blast when I was on there.
And listen to the Dungeon Rats. It's an interactive dungeon crawl where our listeners submit the encounters and challenges that our cast has to confront. It's been a blast making. Editing is a big pain in the butt, unlike this show, which editing is easy and breezy and fun. And iTunes reviews. Oh, follow me on Twitter at PatLikesToTweet, because Facebook is for noobs.
Let's see what's out there. Peaches. Hot sauce. Peaches.